Welcome to the scene. I'm your host, Andrea Kruska, and today I am joined by Jonathan Nelms, a woodworker here in town. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here. Thank you, Andrea. Appreciate the invitation.
Why don't you just tell me a little bit of background on how you got started and what you do?
Well, I'm a pastor, and you know, one of those things, people are always changing, but I cut a piece of wood 12 inches long, and it's 12 inches long when I come back to it. So I find something gratifying in just this is concrete. I can measure it. I can enjoy it. And it's one of those things that I've enjoyed all through my life, doing some carpentry, things with my dad, some hobbies, and then home improvement, building some cabinets, pieces of furniture that we need around the house. And one thing led to another, and I just found myself enjoying more and more the creativity of fine woodworking. I like the functional aspect of it, but I also just enjoy the creativity of it, you know, looking at the size and the scale and different types of wood and wood colors. So it's just something I really enjoy doing.
That's good. It's always nice to kind of have a hobby that turns into something that's more productive.
Oh, I think it's great.
Yeah, because that's what photography was for me, is mm-hmm. just something I was kind of doing for myself. And then someone's like, why don't you sell this? Yeah, okay, cool. Why not? So you started doing this. Did you take classes? Did you kind of train yourself? Like,
Whenever I learned a new whatever it is, I read a lot. And so I read a lot of books. That was very influential for me. Watched some videos, listened to some podcasts, just got to know folks who were doing it, you know, and learning from them. And just kind of wading into it, trial and error. I took a few online classes, seminars, mostly during the pandemic. You know, I had some, you know, we all had a little more free time. Yeah. And so it just kind of my interest took off, and I tried to experiment with more intricate skills and techniques, and find this very gratifying.
So as you're getting started with something new, a new project or mm-hmm. A new kind of body of work, where are you getting your idea? Where are you drawing inspiration from?
I would say most of the things that I create are for a specific purpose. So I'm looking at a space, some utility, how it needs to function. And then from there, that gives me some parameters. And then I begin to think about not just the size, but the scale of it.
Mm-hmm.
That leads to wood selection, and not just the color of the wood, but the grain pattern. So I like to think about that, what kind of joinery I'm going to use, what type of techniques. So that's kind of the inspiration for that. Sometimes I'll just mill up a beautiful piece of wood, and man, that needs to be this piece of art. Has no real function to it other than it looks beautiful and I enjoy making it.
I think that's a function right there.
That is. It is.
I do love functional art. I think mm-hmm. like with the Center for Craft right here, we have so much of that. We've got so much woodworking, metalworking, glass blowing, ceramics, everything. And I think a lot of people don't necessarily see that as art all mm-hmm. the time. They see it as craft and don't realize there is a lot of artistry behind it.
A lot. It's tremendous. We went down for the last open house at the Appalachian Center for Craft, and it is beautiful pieces, beautiful pieces. We have them all around our home. And, you know, some of them, like you said, are functional. Many of them are just, this is just a lovely piece of glass or ironwork. And I don't know, it feeds my mind, but it feeds my soul. Mm-hmm. I just find something very gratifying in having that and complimentary pieces. And I love making things that go with that to help display that and complement it too.
I like that. Yeah, I think, of course, I want things that are functional, but everyone needs those things that you just look at and makes you happy.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's something that you're like, why do I need this? Like, that's always my problem, is justifying buying something where I'm like, this serves no real purpose. No, the purpose is it makes me happy.
Right.
And I think we all need that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you mentioned selling art. I've never done that, but I give away lots of stuff. And that brings me such, hey, I love going to visit a friend or family member and seeing something I've made for them in use. They're enjoying it. They can do with it what they want. It's a gift, but it gives me some gratitude. I like it.
I completely understand that.
Yeah.
We'll be right back on the scene with more with Jonathan Nelms.
That rare 45 from the 1960s?
The one you wore out on your record player.
Search for the rare at Harper's.
That classic story of intrigue and mystery.
The book you can't put down.
Get a scare.
Or romance in the air.
At Harper's.
The hub for anything and everything creative.
Harper's rare books and collectibles.
If it's rare.
If it's groovy.
If it's one of a kind.
You just might find it at Harper's.
Just down from the depot in Cookeville's historic West Side.
The kind of place that's much less store and much more about the search.
Stroll, look, sit a spell.
Hang out, soak in the unique and the rare.
But be warned.
You just may be late getting back to work.
It's new every time you walk through the doors.
Harper's rare books and collectibles. 41 West Broad Street, Cookeville.
A one-of-a-kind book, collectible records, and unique treasures.
The community's hub for all things creative.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
Cookeville's historic West Side.
Welcome back to the scene. I'm here today talking to Jonathan Nelms, a woodworker right here in town. What do you want other people to get out of your work? Do you want them to see the function? Do you want them to see the artistry behind it?
I hope they'll appreciate that, but also hope that they'll just be challenged to make what they enjoy making. It's so therapeutic for me, just the creativity of it, to take local species of wood and do something beautiful with it. You know, to celebrate just the nature that we're surrounded by here in the Upper Cumberland, but then also express something of our own creativity and what we like about it. I'm looking forward to the Art Prowl. You and I and Larry Taylor will be in the same venue this year.
Yep, so we're at the Biz Foundry.
Yep,
come see us.
It's going to be great. Second weekend in November.
Yeah.
And we'll have a good time doing that. And I'm looking forward to just meeting other artists there. And hopefully they'll see something maybe they appreciate in my work. But I learn so much every year visiting, no matter what medium it is, but just seeing the creativity, how they use their gifts, express their personality in their work.
And you seem like someone who is very, very encouraging of others, which, I mean, background as a pastor,
sure.
I would expect you to be a little bit anyway.
Right.
But so for the people who are listening and are like, oh, create something that I want to create. How do I do that if I'm not an artist, if I don't have talent? Mm-hmm. What would you say to them?
Try some different things. I mean, and keep it simple. Just simple things that you enjoy doing. I have my friend Caitlin Dunn is a fiber artist. She loves fiber. She loves the colors of fiber, carding fiber, creating fiber. Our friend Larry Taylor that will be with us.
Mm-hmm.
He just started painting a couple of years ago, and it's been so good for him just to express himself, to grow in that. You do learn techniques, but just start where you are, what's around you, and don't be afraid to try it.
Yeah. So when I started photography years and years ago,
mm-hmm.
I used my dad's old camera. I learned on black and white. I learned how to develop. I worked in a darkroom and then got away from it for a while. And then when I picked it back up, I was just doing it on my phone. And I was doing a lot of hiking and taking a ton of pictures and sharing them on Instagram and Facebook. And Emily Newman, who you know,
yes.
She was actually the one who was like, why aren't you selling this? And I'm like, oh, well, they're just from my phone. Like, I'm not an artist. She's like, no, yes, you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of those things that a lot of people have trouble thinking of themselves that way.
Yeah. And just to step out, do it for no other reason than you enjoy doing it.
Exactly.
You know? And if other people benefit from that, they love you and they appreciate you. They love your work. And I've seen your images online. They're beautiful.
Thank you. They're beautiful.
And again, a celebration of this beautiful place where we live in the Upper Cumberland.
So you mentioned being inspired by the different tree species and everything around here.
Mm-hmm.
Which is your favorite to work with?
I love working with sassafras. It's not a big tree. I've milled up. There's some large woods behind our house. And so when trees fall or I have some standing dead trees that I've milled up and made pieces from it. I love sassafras. There's a lot of variation in the grain, and the smell of it as you plane it is just delightful. It smells so good. It finishes well. And that's one thing I personally love about woodworking. It's the aroma of the wood, the feel of the wood, to know where it came from. When I create something out of a tree that grew in the woods behind my house, it's never been farther than 50 feet from where it grew because my wood shop's right there. And I love that. You know, I can appreciate it. We've lived there for 20 plus years, and maybe this tree wasn't even there when we moved in. And now it's this beautiful piece of art that's in our house, and I just enjoy that. And, you know, and then when you can share that with other folks, I love being able to look at it from different angles. The art, the light catches it in different ways. It's beautiful.
I love that. And what better way to get a chance to tell people about that than when they come and visit you during Art Prowl?
I'm looking forward to it, meeting some other artists. Last year, I saw some work by Aaron Wells, who's a local woodworker, does phenomenal work. Of course, Brad Sells. Most folks know about Brad. I bought one of his pieces in an auction at the Art Prowl just a few years ago, and I love looking at it. I'm nowhere that caliber artist, but we are so fortunate to have excellent artists in our very community that are open, that are accessible, and love encouraging inexperienced artists along the way.
Absolutely. We'll be right back with more with Jonathan Nelms. Welcome back to the scene. I'm here talking to Jonathan Nelms today. Jonathan, we talked a little bit about how the artist community here is really supportive, really encouraging of people getting started. How has that helped you or influenced you?
You know, it's given me, I guess, the courage to step out and do this. Having met a lot of these artists at the Art Prowl, at the Art Round Tennessee events, it's great to know them, they're accessible, and it's hear their stories of how they got started. Yours today, that's just real meaningful to me. And to think, you know, I can do this too. Not to prove anything about myself or my work, but to meet other people, encourage them along the way, and just celebrate the joy that we get out of it. Our woods here in the Upper Cumberland are very diverse, lots of species of woods, and they all finish and they turn out in different ways. And I think that's true of us as artists too, as we just find out what's that raw material within us and finish it, express it in different ways, and celebrate the diversity of it. It's a beautiful place to be, and a good time to be here too, because we have the history of the Art Center, everything that goes on around tech. But then I see this truly burgeoning arts community within Cookeville and surrounding areas. It's something to celebrate.
I absolutely agree with that. And it's not just the artist community that's so supportive. Mm. Cookeville and the Upper Cumberland in general, I feel, has really embraced these local makers and artists and small businesses and really want to support people, which is probably why Art Prowl has been such a success in the past.
I think so. And I to see it continue to grow, more people are interested in it, and more people being involved in it is very gratifying.
Speaking of all our other artists in the area, who are some of your favorite artists, local or otherwise?
I mentioned Brad Sells, although I don't carve or turn bowls, but I really appreciate what he does. Aaron Wells does some tremendous work. I knew his wife from the flowers that she did for our son's wedding.
Serena's a friend of mine. So.
She's fantastic. And one day I'm leafing through the pages of Fine Woodworking magazine, and I see this beautiful chair created by Aaron Wells. Maybe a side table. I can't remember which piece it was. Aaron Wells, Cookeville, Tennessee. I'm like, I've got to track this guy down. And so we've since connected. But, you know, I just appreciate that he's here. He's a very humble person, but a tremendous artist. And, you know, I came across that because I'm looking at great work by people like Sam Maloof or Christian Bexvoort or Mike Pekovich. I mean, these are world-renowned artists, George Nakashima. And there among these pages is a local artist who's doing fantastic work. And I appreciate that. And that this arts community, the woodworking community, these people are accessible too. Today I've been emailing Vic Teslin, who's a woodworker actually in Ontario. But, you know, where he's answering some questions about a book, and I love reading woodworking books. Andrea, they are wonderfully boring. There's nothing like it at night. It puts all the cares of the world away.
I was going to say, as an insomniac, I should probably remember that.
Yeah, I could give you a reading list. Yeah, it's great. I just love it. You know, your mind just kind of drifts away, and I've just found it's better to take my thoughts captive than let them wander, because they go places I don't want them to be. But those woodworking books just kind of just dull me right out in the evening.
So hypothetically, if someone wanted something done from you, and say it was a tree that they have a favorite tree. Mm-hmm. And if it happens to fall down, which I hope doesn't happen because this is my favorite tree I'm talking about hypothetically, how would someone get a hold of you if they wanted to turn something into a piece of art?
Well, I'm the only Nelms in the phone book, so I'm easy to find.
That does help.
But I'm also on Instagram, Nelms Woodworks. I just set that account up about a month or so ago. I've had some fun connecting with folks there. So just reach out. You know, I can mill up trees. We had the largest oak in our backyard fell over just about a month ago. I'm milling that up. It's going to be a year or two before it dries enough to do much work with it. But I love working with local woods and trees that people know and appreciate. They've given you shade. They've given you some comfort, and now they can have a way to remember them.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you,
Looking
Andrea.
Forward to displaying with you at Art Prowl at the Biz Foundry the second weekend in November.
Yes.
And I'll see you then.
We're going to have a great time.